Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Our number 1-800-795-9565. So, Eagles fans, you watched last night. What did you think of all that? And what do you think needs to be done? They've made a lot. They've made moves, but maybe they're not the moves to be made. We'll see. I mean, they lost no ground, but they had a golden opportunity to gain ground, and didn't, because the Redskins, Cowboys, and Giants all lost. So, they're, what, 3-6 right now? 3-5. 3-5, right? Halfway mark?
Yeah, I think that's correct.
And they still have the second half of this thing to go.
Eagles have the Cowboys coming up.
And they also still have to play the Giants in New York, because they played them in Philadelphia already.
I read a tweet from an Eagles fan last night. It says, can we fire two defensive coordinators in like a month span?
In 2 weeks.
Yeah,
you're no good. You're no good. You're good. Hey, Wisconsin fired their offensive line coach after 2 games. I mean, he'd only been the offensive line coach 2 games total in his career at Wisconsin. Fired him. I mean, they got rid of him. Now, they're playing better, but they have not, by the way, picked their quarterback, Wisconsin, for this week's game. But they're running the ball better since they changed offensive line coaches. Now, maybe the problem was they took Castillo and they got rid of him off the offensive line to make him defensive coordinator. The bottom line is this. The Eagles do have some talent. DeSean Jackson, I think a lot of teams would love to have. Macklin, I think a lot of teams would love to have. Celek is a very good tight end. LeSean McCoy is an elite running back. Michael Vick has a tendency to make mistakes. Part of that is because the offensive line forces him to try and make some things happen. And forces him to create more than he should. But he feels he has to do something because, obviously, he's trying to make a play. The Eagles' offensive line play is not good. Now, I thought they'd get better playmakers on defense. And you have to remember how perilous this Eagles season is anyway. Look, the games that they've won have all been close games. I think you have to remember, I mean, Cleveland, they probably shouldn't have won the Cleveland game, but did. And this might be worse than people realize. I mean, Lawrence Tynes hits a field goal at the end of the game. In fact, the Giants will get a dumb pass interference penalty, and it was a legit call, by the way. Okay? It's a legit call. But they might lose that game because Tynes has only missed, I think, 2 field goals all year, and they've both been long distance and short. And that one was right on target, but short. They don't get the penalty. He nails that thing. And that's, I mean, the Eagles season is actually a little more precarious than people believe. They're 3-5 right now. But to be honest with you, look exactly, I mean, look what they've done. Okay, they beat Cleveland 17-16 opening week. They beat Baltimore 24-23, and that's when the Ravens were playing really well. Okay, then after they lose, they beat the Giants 19-17. So they're 3-5 right now, and their three wins are by a total of 4 points. I mean, Arizona crushed them. The Steelers beat them by 2, obviously. Detroit then rallied and beat them by 3, and Atlanta crushed them, and New Orleans crushed them. So they've had 3 wins by 4 points, and in their 5 losses, they have been out of the game completely in 3 of them. The Arizona, Atlanta, and New Orleans games were not close. And this is a football team. They have what Dallas coming up next. And both teams need to win. I mean, this is, I think, next Sunday's game, which will be a late game at 4:25 at the Link, I think is a playoff elimination game. The loser of that game is 3-6. The climb becomes too uphill. Then they're at Washington, okay. Then they have Carolina, okay. But then they're at Dallas. And then Tampa Bay is playing a lot better, and they have to play them in Week 14. And then they have Cincinnati, and we know the Bengals are better. They have the Redskins again, and they close out at the Giants. Not murderer's row, but not easy either. And Sunday's game between the Cowboys and the Eagles might be a playoff elimination game, where the winner is still in it, still in the neighborhood, can still make a move. The loser is 3-6. Too steep a hole to climb out of. And the game's in Philadelphia, and let's face it, Eagle fans help when the team is winning. When they're not winning, the Eagles fans aren't a lot of help. It's not a great home field advantage. Now they have Dallas. That's one thing I'll say about Philadelphia. No matter what, though, when it's the Cowboys, they are unified. They are completely unified when it's the Dallas Cowboys. And we'll find out on Sunday. But that is a big game for Philadelphia and for Dallas. Because it's not just a question of, well, if you're 3-6, you can always come back and be 10-6. Yeah, you can. But you have to win 7 in a row. And this is the NFL. And the other part, too, is that, and I've talked about this in the baseball realm, sometimes it's not just the record you have, but it's also the number of teams you need to climb over to get there, because other teams have to lose in front of you. Because now it's a case of you're 3-6. Well, what about the other teams and what they're doing? I mean, what's Seattle doing? It's not just the Giants, Cowboys, and Redskins any longer. It's also, if you're trying to get to the wild card, what's Detroit doing? What's Green Bay doing? What's Tampa Bay doing? As they trail, what's New Orleans doing, for example? New Orleans now has the same record as the Eagles. So that's the problem in all this. Sometimes it's not just what your record is at the moment. It's how many other teams you're now competing against and who you have to leapfrog to get there. You have to take care of your own house first. Fans wondering about Jordan Hill, Kyle Carter. They're both day-to-day, but the door is not completely closed on either of them. Rex Burkhead, same thing. Okay, Rex Burkhead, same thing. Nebraska just doesn't know right now. Now, if he doesn't, Amir Abdullah ends up starting, and he's had a good year. It just, you know, and but that also means that Braylon Hurd has to be the backup, and that knocks down some of the depth Nebraska has. But Nebraska's rolled up some big offensive numbers this year. 270 yards on the ground, couple hundred through the air. Martinez, who's had a tendency in his career to shot put the football, is now throwing the ball a lot better. Has a better throwing motion now. And is playing much better. Much better. And he is fed. You want to talk about straight line speed. Taylor Martinez has outstanding straight line speed for Nebraska. Good receivers. Kenny Bell's really good. I've always liked Kenny Bell. He's a good, solid, all-around receiver because he'll block for you, too. He'll block for you as well. That's why he's so valuable to Nebraska out there, because in a team that runs the football as often as they do, he will he'll throw his nose in there. And I'll talk about Brandon Mosby Felder in a moment in that same vein. And you look at Jamal Turner, Endua, Kyler Reed, the tight end. Kyler Reed's a really good receiving tight end. Really good. Not the greatest blocker on the planet, but he is a very good receiving tight end who's capable of making big plays in their offense. Now, Brandon Mosby Feller's been interesting. He has been able, he did nothing in the spring. Hurd had a hamstring, watched. Coaches didn't really know what they had in Brandon Mosby Felder. Just didn't know. And he started out the preseason, got off to a slow start, but then slowly but surely worked himself into the rotation. Now he has put together three consecutive games with a career high in receiving, leading up to the 129-yard performance against Purdue, including his first career touchdown. He's a very good route runner. Mosby Felder has great speed. I think he might be the second fastest receiver on the team behind Alex Kenny in terms of pure straight speed. But Mosby Felder has become not just a reliable number two outside of Allen Robinson, but he's also a very good route runner, and he's a really good blocker downfield. He will throw his nose in there at somebody. And that makes a big difference. And so does Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson does a good job of throwing his nose in there. The big play that Mosby Felder had down to the 3-yard line against Ohio State, what sprung him there was a big block at the 15-yard line by Allen Robinson. I mean, he laid somebody out. They ran a slant play against Northwestern. Robinson caught it. Mosby Felder laid out this guy to free up Robinson. And Stan Hixon really emphasizes the blocking part of it, the all-around part, very much. And it's been a plus to see him develop, because once they get Kyle Carter back in the mix, then they really have a well-rounded receiving group that gives Matt McGloin a lot of options. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. The Lenape Solar Hotline will come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price at another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. And our Tire Rewards program gives you your next set of tires free. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Let's stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. sunburymotors.com. The winning team.
Afternoon greetings.
There you go.
Hey, I'm just trying to follow the Lawrence lead. You know, my goal is to one day to be as cool as he is.
He is pretty cool.
I know. He's got Smirconish on. How about that?
I know. We're going to talk to him tomorrow morning, and we'll have some of his election thoughts the day after the election. Now, we go back on the air tonight at 9 p.m., so we'll be on about 9 to midnight, keeping everyone updated.
Wow. Boy, that's a long night. That's a big night.
Yeah, we're all prepped for it, though. You know, we got extra food, and got some coffee, you know. We're ready.
Oh, yeah? Good. I like it. It's, it's an exciting time. People have an opportunity to express themselves. It's going to be a closely contested election, but it's not the only race. I mean, obviously, you have a congressperson to elect, a U.S. senator, Auditor General, Attorney General, State Representative. Those are the races I recall being on my ballot.
Yep, all of those.
Yeah. And then I probably wrote you in for three of them.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I mean, it should work out well. I mean, I think if a couple of them involve a pay raise, I think. So.
That's great. I'll look forward to the results. Yeah.
Actually, to be honest with you, I wrote in Kevin. I figured, we gotta get rid of the dead weight, move on. Then I realized I couldn't be the only one doing it.
Yeah, that he could actually win.
Yeah, I needed a groundswell of support to make it happen. So. Our number 1-800-795-9565. He's still jumping up and down over the Steelers win on Sunday over the Giants, which was a great win, by the way. Question is whether Mike Wallace breaks out and continues to play at a high level like he did on the one play against the Giants. I mean, they're going to need him to stop playing. I mean, he's actually gone through a full season now of playing the same way until he got that pass over the middle and scored that touchdown against the Giants. And he is so amazingly fast that it looked like other people were jogging, even though they were running as fast as they could. They couldn't catch the dude. I mean, that's how fast he is. Incredible. And I think that... It was a big win for the Steelers, just what they needed. And now they push forward. I mean, Baltimore won, so they're still back of Baltimore, but they still have to play the Ravens.
Right, twice.
You are not comfortable.
No, I'm not. I'm not as comfortable as I was about maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago. And then losing Webb and losing Lewis, two huge losses, because, look, they're part of the backbone of the football team. No question about that. That's why, for example, Penn State, you saw all the players, how concerned they were about Jordan Hill. Look, Jordan Hill's part of the backbone of this football team. Now, it's up in the air as to whether he plays on Saturday. We'll just have to see how the week plays out. But that's why when you saw him get hurt, you saw all those players on a knee and then finally pulled away, gathered up, and huddled because, look, they love the guy, and at the same time, he's part of the backbone of the football team. He has played at an incredibly high level all year. I mean, John Simon, K'Wan Short, Jordan Hill, and I think Jordan Hill has been the best defensive lineman in this conference this year. He plays defensive tackle the way like a linebacker does, the way he uses his hands and his quickness. So when he went down, and this thing's been bugging him for a couple of weeks, okay, just so you know, it's been bugging him for a couple of weeks. But still, it has been. Now, when he went down, a lot of players, like, again, this is part of your spine. What makes everybody else stand up? That's how important he is to his teammates. Final half hour of the show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Following the news as we update what's happening with the election. Polls open for another 3.5 hours.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is great to have you with us on this election day. Sarah will be there from 9 to midnight tonight with election results. News Radio 1070 WKOK. And one of the more important elections of our lifetime. And there's a lot to vote for as well. It's not just voting for president. There's so many other things on the ballot. Attorney general, auditor general, congressperson. State representative. So, we go through it. We get to 8 o'clock. I think the polls in Indiana and Kentucky close at, 7:30, right, sir?
I think that's true. So they close about a half hour earlier.
In 2008, that's when I knew Barack Obama was going to win. You want to know why?
Yeah.
Indiana went for Obama. And Indiana doesn't usually do that. They don't usually go for a Democrat. And they went for him pretty big. Now, if you see Indiana come up tonight and it goes for Romney, you'll go, oh, it doesn't mean anything. It just means it went back to what their normal voting base is. But see, that was one that was early last year that was like, uh-oh, for a Republican. And for a Democrat, it's like, hell, look at someone, that's a steal. Don't usually win. You know what I mean? That's when I knew. Now, we're not going to know for a long time tonight.
Yeah,
a long time.
Yeah, this is one of the, I think, tighter races that there has been. So we'll see.
Right. I mean, but President Obama was on his way to victory in 2008 and was going to win by a decent margin. The second I saw it, when Indiana came up, I thought, oh, boy, that is that doesn't usually happen.
Right. So you knew. you knew it. You had a feeling.
Yeah, I knew it. No, it was more than a feeling. It's when something like that happens, it tells you something in the country's happening. Now, Indiana comes up tonight, for example. Let's just take that, because I was just in Indiana, obviously. I was at Purdue, right? And the feeling is it's probably going to go for Governor Romney. Well, that's not a tip-off or an indication of anything. What was a tip-off and indication 4 years ago is that they don't usually go that way. When you saw that, you went, well, that bucks a trend. And when you see trends being bucked, then those are the tea leaves you read. And then you hear about Dixville Notch, New Hampshire?
No.
There are 10 residents of Dixville Notch, New Hampshire. Very northern part of New Hampshire in the White Mountains. There are 10 residents, and they vote at midnight every 4 years. You want to know how the vote turned out?
Yes.
5 votes for Governor Romney, 5 votes for President Obama.
Oh, boy. Now, if that's telling... We're going to be in for a long run.
A long night. All right. It took them 43 seconds to vote in Dixville Notch. 43 seconds. So.
Did they just all go in together? Like, all right.
They all,
guys,
no, it's something that they do it. They do it midnight all the time. They all come together. Now, two families, I think, have moved away. So now they're down to 10 eligible voters. And so they all get together, and this is what they do. Midnight every year. Or, you know, every 4 years. They want to be the first in the nation. They take care of it. Everybody at the polling place goes home. I mean, it's not bad being at the polling place in Dixville Notch. You got to look around and go, okay, it's 2 minutes after 12, and we're done. It's not bad. Not bad. Our number 1-800-795-9565. If you notice, by the way, even though we're talking about the election, we're doing it in great generalities. There are no specifics here. It's not our job. It's not our job to do that. It's our job to talk sports. And I am looking forward to Saturday's game at Nebraska. Great test. Nebraska has really played well. And not only that, Nebraska has been a really good come-from-behind team. Played at Northwestern. It really looked like Northwestern had them in Evanston. Nebraska rallied, won the game. Michigan State got the benefit of a really shaky pass interference call. Took advantage of that, scored, rallied, beat Michigan State. So, I mean, that's a big win for them. And they're a team that has had three of these so far this year where they have had to come back and win games. And so this is a team that is mentally tough. Their quarterback, Taylor Martinez, is playing the best football of his career. And I mentioned earlier in the show, great straight line speed that he has. Great straight line speed. I got an email from Buhner. I don't know if I should have mentioned what he did with his ballot.
Oh boy.
Yeah, geez. That's something. Buhner, he was on yesterday's show, by the way. Always a lot of fun. And and then, of course, Kevin, marketing consultant, sent me an email as well. Marketing consultant?
Really? Oh, that's the technical name.
Not sales geek? I mean, we have great marketing consultants at Sunbury Broadcasting, and we have one sales geek. So I shouldn't do that to him. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Bill O'Brien, of course, today, press conference. And, of course, you know, Jordan Hill, Kyle Carter, both day-to-day. So they're, you know, they both went through conditioning yesterday, I can tell you that. And after seeing Braxton Miller 2 weeks ago, they now get to see Taylor Martinez this week. And that's the fun of being in the Big Ten, is that you do get to see. You know, I know a lot of people have talked about the Big Ten down and this, that, and the other thing. But you know what? I see a Braxton Miller, a Taylor Martinez, okay, and I hear all the hoopla about certain quarterbacks. Braxton Miller and Taylor Martinez are far more difficult to get ready for than Zach Mettenberger of LSU. They're far more difficult to get ready for than what South Carolina brings to the table with their quarterback. I think they're more difficult to get ready for than the Murray kid at Georgia. Now, these are all Southeastern Conference quarterbacks. Jeff Driscoll at Florida. I think Martinez and Braxton Miller, and I think the system Penn State has, the way Matt McGloin's running it, Penn State's system is more difficult to get ready for than LSU, South Carolina, Georgia, teams like that. Really good football teams with great reps, and they're all in the Southeastern Conference. But the quarterback play, now again, Martinez, you want to do everything you can to force him to beat you throwing the football without question. And I felt the same way about Braxton Miller. Now, Braxton Miller, to his credit, he threw 19 passes. Look, we all watched the game. I mean, the balls that he threw out of bounds, into the bench, off the turf, wide right, wide left. I mean, he had 16 of those. He didn't have 16 drops. He had 16 poorly thrown passes. But he had three great ones. One amounted to nothing. That was a third down pass play early in the game to Jake Stoneburner. Great pass on the money. Couldn't have thrown it any better with velocity. Ended up being a first down, getting them out of a first and out of a third and 14 situation. Now, the drive didn't lead to anything, but it did lead to a change in field position. The other one was Evan Spencer. He threw an in cut to Evan Spencer to the 9-yard line of Penn State that was on a line, a frozen rope, couldn't have been thrown any better. And then obviously at the end, the touchdown pass that he threw to Stoneburner at the end was a perfect throw. You still want to put a quarterback like that in a position to throw the ball. Look at Denard Robinson. Michigan has really struggled this year because teams have been putting Michigan in a spot where Michigan has not run the ball well this year. You know, as well as they did. Michigan had great success last year because they ran the football so well with Denard Robinson and Fitz Toussaint. They're not running the ball at the same level of efficiency this year against good teams. There's not. And it's been forcing Robinson to throw a lot more. And it's not his game. Well, Taylor Martinez, to his credit, has really improved as a thrower. There's no doubt about it. Because you cannot come from behind in the games that Nebraska has come from behind in. Unless you throw the football well. You just can't. And he's throwing the football much better with far better efficiency this year. I think he's like 62 or 63%. But let me tell you what Nebraska's biggest problem is this year. Nebraska's biggest problem on offense is this. They've turned the ball over 23 times this year. They're a minus 9 giveaway takeaway. You know, teams have scored 76 points off of Nebraska turnovers this year. That's why their 7-2 record is amazing. I mean, no team is 7-2 with a minus 9 until I saw this. I was like, you have to be kidding me. I mean, it really is. It's amazing when you think about it. Minus 9, and Nebraska has given up 76 points off of those takeaways. They have fumbled the ball, Nebraska has, 23 times this season. They've lost 14 of them. 23 times they've lost 14. I mean, that means they're fumbling the ball 2.5 times a game and losing two of them a game. But they've had three great come-from-behind wins. They came from behind at home, beat Wisconsin by 3. Looked completely lost at Northwestern, came from behind, 1-1. Michigan State's story, rallied on the road and won. So they're with three come-from-behind wins this year. Michigan, they just took care of business, especially in the second half. The game was tied at halftime, and they just took care of business after that. Well, their other game, at UCLA, was just a bad loss early. And, of course, the Ohio State game, they were just dominated in Columbus. It's just one of those nights things like that happen. But they play great pass defense. I mean, they play great pass defense. Opposing teams this year are completing just 46% of their passes against Nebraska. Just 46%. So their pass defense has been outstanding. And, of course, we know Penn State's pass offense this year has been really good. Really good. You have to control this football team on first down. You have to. Nebraska's averaging 7.3 yards a play on first down. Now, coaches talk about being on schedule. Now, Penn State's a very respectable, by the way, 5.5 yards a play on first down. Very respectable. Penn State's very good. Penn State's very good. 45% of Penn State's offense is on first down. Which is, that's exactly what you want. You want that kind of start on first down. And Penn State's done that this year. I mean, Penn State is a team that on first down is averaging actually 5.8 a play on first down. 5.8 yards on first down. That's fabulous. And 46% of Penn State's offense is on first down. Nebraska's 7.3 yards a play on first down. Really impressive. So that's what they're looking at. It's just a good football team. And on top of that, Martinez has stepped up and he's had himself a really nice year. A really nice year. The way he's thrown the football far better. And I watching him on tape, you know, there's still a slight shot put to him, slight. But only slight. He's just, I mean, his throwing motion is just a little bit better now. And I think that he's the guy you have to somehow slow down. You have to somehow slow him down. I know, is it possible? Find out. He's just been really good all season long. And you look at what he's done this year. I mean, here's a guy who's run for 666. He's passed for 1941. Now, in nine games, he is only 140 yards away, 150 yards away from surpassing his career high. And that was in a 13-game season. So he has been doing some great things for them when they've needed it. You know, ran for 205, passed for 160 against Michigan State. Passed for 166 against Michigan. Okay. Northwestern passed for 342. So he's capable of big numbers. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Shamoka Band Orchestra making Cat Scratch Fever sound real. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, sponsor of the Sunbury Motors Studio, where I reside every day. Sunbury Motors, routes 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf for Sunbury Motors Kia. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. You can go to lenapesolar.com. Tomorrow, OTM, Mark Lawrence and On the Mark will have Michael Smirkanish on the show, analyzing the election. We'll find out tomorrow morning on OTM whether the results are official. and whether somebody has reached 270 electoral votes.
Hopefully we'll know.
Yeah, no kidding. Hopefully we'll know. It's really difficult when you do sit there and go, come on, what's going on? You know? But we should have all the results in on the state races by the time you're off the air tonight.
Yep, that's true. And we'll post them online at WKOK.com as well. So we'll keep that up to date, too.
All right, absolutely. So that'll be your source between News Radio 1070, WKOK, and WKOK.com. You'll get complete election results. And then we'll find out nationally what happens. Who gets to 270 first? And, of course, how does Pennsylvania with its 20 electoral votes falls? We'll see. Certainly was a lot of money poured into the state in the last week, which was interesting by both sides. So we'll see how it plays out. After listening to it for a year, I think there was probably a relief for everybody to go to the polls. I don't know about you. Did your phone ring off the hook with, like, recorded messages?
It did, and still today. So I really think when tomorrow comes, no matter what happens, everyone, one consensus will be that sigh of relief. Like, well, right. At least we don't have to, the commercials are over. I won't get the robocalls. That's one consensus.
Well, my son actually thinks he talked to Chuck Norris, and I said, no, it was a recording. I mean, but if it makes him feel better, so be it. Was it, what was the movie? It was Dodgeball.
Oh.
Thank you, Chuck Norris. Darn Chuck Norris. Deciding vote to let them play. And Vince Vaughn and company came through. What a silly way to end a silly day. But still 3 more hours to vote.